It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Tuesday edition of Cole and Company underway. I am your host, Colbert. It is January 23 of 2024. And I know who Iowa's next offensive coordinator should be. Yeah. I've actually been holding this for a few days. Well, I guess technically just one day because I came up with it this weekend. And I don't think this is a hot take. And Kirk Ferentz can't seem to find anybody. That's what a shocker. That wants to take that offensive coordinator job at Iowa. I know who we should offer the job to. And I think it's one of those people that I suppose you could say. It's like, well, have you tried looking right under your nose? No, I'm not talking about bringing Brian back. Calm down. That's not it. Well, we'll get into it in just a little bit. First things first, though. Thanks so much for being here. Appreciate your attendance. As always, as I mentioned, a Tuesday edition of the show. However you are tuned in, appreciate it. Whether it's 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Give us a follow on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X at Real Colbert. Like our Facebook page, type in 1650 The Fan on the Zuck machine. You'll find us. Just hammer that like button. You'll get more local and statewide sports content into your Facebook feed as a result. Bookmark the website while you're at it, 1650thefan.com. That's where so much of that local and statewide, and for that matter, national sports content can be found. Also, audio on demand, including the podcast of this show, as well as today's Waterloo Blackhawks Minute. If you ever feel compelled to do so, that being join the show with your questions or comments, you got options. Of course, you can tweet at me, tweet at 1650KCNZ, send us a message to our Facebook page, or you can do it the old-fashioned way. Dial me up. Don't be shy. 319-277-1918. 319-277-1918. Save it in your phone. Or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could email the show. If perhaps you'd rather do that than call. By all means, do so. Perhaps you'd even like to make a suggestion on someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. Do so. Just know if you send me an email, might read it on the show. Email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right. Here's what's on the agenda today. We'll get to area sports news and scores in just a little bit, as always. Plenty to get to in the stack on a Tuesday. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VEASAN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this balmy Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We'll come back after that first break, and David Eichel, friend of the show, does outstanding work at HawkeyeInsider.com and for the 24/7 Sports Network. Follow David on X at David Eichel. He was, of course, covering Beth Getz's introductory press conference today in Iowa City. So we'll see what David can tell us about that formal introduction, as well as get the latest on Kirk Ferentz's search, seemingly never-ending search for an offensive coordinator, and get David to empty his notebook with his latest on Iowa men's and women's basketball. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that timeout, and come back on the other side and hear from UNI men's basketball play-by-play voice, J.W. Cox. J.W. going to join the show and give us his insight on this UNI men's basketball team that enters their game tonight at home, having won 8 of their last 9. Ben Jacobson's Panthers looking like they may have something to say, after all, about this Missouri Valley Conference regular season championship race. So, J.W., he's as embedded as anybody with that program, and really pleased that he's going to be able to join the show in the third segment today. After we're done there, we'll take a final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Tuesday and wrap up the show. So that's what's on the agenda, boys and girls. Okay, yeah. I know, Cole, you can't tease that you know who Kirk Ferentz should hire as offensive coordinator and then you not pay that off. Well, I could wait to pay it off until maybe the end of the show, but I'm a nice guy. And, all right, buckle up, everybody. And you really shouldn't have to. You really shouldn't have to when I say this name of who Kirk Ferentz should hire as his next offensive coordinator. And a few things, or at least one thing to point out here before I unveil who I think it should be, is, at this point, who the hell wants this job? I mean, Paul freaking Chris didn't want it. He would rather be an analyst, a no-show job for the Texas Longhorns, then come back to the Big Ten and be a play caller. Let that sink in. Doesn't look like Joe Philbin wants this job. Kirk Ferentz doesn't think that Scott Frost is a fit, even though reportedly Scott Frost reached out. So, like, is that all? Like, is that all who's being considered? Nobody internal? Obviously, didn't even get a chance with the way it was engineered by Beth Getz to keep Brian Ferentz even through the bowl game, which was not a smart decision. I like the Beth Getz hire. I don't like how she handled the Brian Ferentz thing, but that wasn't probably going to be an easy thing regardless. Not here to dig into that again. But so who's a trendy candidate? You know, in terms of football sex appeal, who has any that would be the slightest bit interested in coming in to run an offense where you can't run your own scheme? You can't. You're not going to be able to run your own scheme. If you were, somebody would have that job by now. You're going to get micromanaged, to say the least. Who knows what Kirk does on that headset, how influential he may be to play calling. We don't know. So not only are you not running your own scheme, are you always going to be able to call your own plays? So what am I? Am I really an offensive coordinator? And in saying all this, I feel like maybe this guy wouldn't take the job because it's almost like disrespectful to oneself as an aspiring person, someone who is aspiring to be an offensive coordinator, to take the role under these conditions, the conditions that we allege, that I'm alleging that they would be under. And I'm by no means the only guy making these allegations of what a offensive coordinator would have to endure under Kirk Ferentz. But all that being said, given the fact that there doesn't seem to be any sort of favorite at this point, and it may well be someone from way off the board who ends up taking this job, and you're like, well, get this person's bio in front of me because I don't know who the hell they are. I got your guy. I got your guy, Hawk fans. And he's been your guy. He's been arguably the guy in Iowa football history. No, I know. Niall Kinnick, rest in peace. That's the guy. This is 1B, arguably. It's Chuck Long. Kirk Ferentz should hire Chuck Long. He should offer the job to Chuck Long. And I know many of you out there, but not all of you, are well aware that Chuck Long has had a decorated career as a coach. Obviously, he was a Heisman finalist at Iowa, but got his career started under Hayden Fry as a defensive backs coach. It always helps. Offensive coaches always tell you it helps when you go coach on the defensive side. He was the QB coach at Iowa. He coached under Kirk Ferentz, I think it was 4 or 5 years, before he went to Oklahoma, became the Sooners' QB coach and passing game coordinator, eventually became their offensive coordinator. They put up monster numbers. They won big, big bowl games when he was at Oklahoma. There was a season where they broke the Big 12 record. Now, albeit, I know this is a long time ago, but still, it's on the resume. Chuck Long led an offense that broke the Big 12 record at the time for points per game. He went to San Diego State, got his first crack at being a head coach. It didn't go well. That happens. Then he went to Kansas as an offensive coordinator for a couple years, and then basically got out of coaching at that point. And Chuck's been successful in all of his endeavors. He's been on this show talking about, obviously, his role with the Iowa games. Chuck Long is a successful guy. If anything this guy touches, he's more times than not been very successful. And right now, he is the co-offensive coordinator and QB coach of the Arlington Renegades of the United Football League, because the USFL and XFL have merged. I think he would take the Iowa job and leave with respect to the Arlington Renegades. So there you have it. There's my two cents. And I'm going to present this to David Eichel when he joins us in the next segment of today's show. Like, what are we waiting on? If you can't find anybody, why haven't you called Chuck Long? Chuck Long for Iowa offensive coordinator. You heard it here first on Cole & Company. All right, let's dive in. Area sports news and scores for Tuesday. Last night in Metro High School basketball and boys games, Waterloo West defeated Cedar Rapids Washington 66-49. Waterloo Christian edged Waterloo Columbus Catholic 53-51. In girls games, Waterloo West got past Cedar Rapids Washington 50-47. And Waterloo Christian defeated Waterloo Columbus 78-55. Shout out to Waterloo Christian's Katie Costello, a game-high 46 points in that win. Meanwhile, last night in Metro Girls Wrestling, Cedar Falls rolled past Cedar Rapids Prairie 72-9. Tonight in Metro Basketball, Waterloo West boys are at Iowa City West, while the Wahawk girls are playing host to the Trojans. Waterloo East boys and girls on the road for a varsity doubleheader at Des Moines North. Waterloo Columbus Catholic boys and girls on the road for a varsity doubleheader at Denver. The 4A 8th-ranked Cedar Falls girls travel to Iowa City Liberty, while the 5A 8th-ranked Cedar Falls boys play host to the Lightning. You can listen to the Cedar Falls girls basketball game against Iowa City Liberty on Cruising KCFI tonight, pregame at 7:15, tip-off at 7:30. Also tonight in Metro Boys and Girls Bowling, Waterloo East playing host to Des Moines Lincoln at Cadillac XBC. The Iowa High School Athletic Association has released district wrestling assignments for all three classes. Among Metro teams in Class 3A, Cedar Falls will compete at the district meet in Ames. Waterloo West and Waterloo East will go to Marshalltown and compete in that district meet. And in Class 1A, Waterloo Columbus will compete at the district meet at South Hamilton. These all take place on Saturday, February 10th. The UNI men's basketball team plays host to Evansville tonight, another Missouri Valley Conference matchup. Panthers dropped their first meeting at Evansville, 91-89 in overtime, back on December 2nd. Since that meeting, the Panthers have won 11 of 13. UNI can reach a milestone tonight with a victory. It would be the 200th win inside McLeod Center. Game time is at 7. Pregame coverage begins at 6:30 on 93.5 The Mix. The UNI football team has lost another member of its staff. Joe Gans, who was the Panthers wide receivers coach the last 4 years, has taken a position at Middle Tennessee to coach tight ends. Gans follows Bodie Reeder, the former OC at UNI, who took that role at Middle Tennessee State earlier this month. Besides the wide receivers coach position, Mark Farley looking for new offensive and defensive coordinators. The Iowa State men's basketball team is back in action tomorrow night at home against Kansas State. 23rd-ranked Cyclones coming off a big win at then-number 19 TCU on Saturday. Iowa State got that win without point guard Taman Lipsey, who leads the team in points, steals, and assists. He was out with a shoulder injury and is questionable for tomorrow's game against the Wildcats. The Cyclones enter tomorrow night's game 14-4 overall, 3-2 in the Big 12. Kansas State 14-4 overall and 4-1 in the Big 12. And finally, the Iowa men's basketball team also back in action tomorrow, hosting Maryland. The two teams are going in opposite directions. Since mid-December, the Hawkeyes have won 3 of their last 4, 6 of their last 8. Terrapins have lost 2 straight and 4 of their last 6. That tips off at 6 tomorrow night. All right, let's take this time out and get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast. We come back on the other side. We talk Hawkeyes. We'll talk Beth Getz's press conference today, being introduced as AD, Kirk Ferentz's search for an OC, and the latest on the Iowa men's and women's basketball teams. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
The breaking news today is in Milwaukee, where the Bucks have fired Adrian Griffin as the team's head coach. Griffin led the Bucks to a 30-13 record at the start of the season. That's second best in the NBA and currently second in the Eastern Conference. But Milwaukee making a change, in multiple reports, including The Athletic, say that Doc Rivers is considered a serious candidate to take over as the full-time head coach. The Athletic did report that Rivers had been consulting Griffin through the first half of this season. Pacers guard Tyrese Halliburton is going to miss the next 3 games with a hamstring injury. The Heat finally moved Kyle Lowry, trading him in a first-round pick to the Hornets for Terry Rozier. Reports say that Lowry's likely to be shopped in another trade to a possible contender. Former Chargers GM Tom Telesco will be the new GM of the Raiders. Jim Harbaugh interviewing with the Chargers for a second time. Pro Football Talks as Pete Carroll and Mike Vrabel are also candidates with the Bolts.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts of Cole & Company are available at 1650thefan.com.
Hi, I'm Emily Frederick, Director of School and Community Relations for the Waterloo Community School District. Graduating high school can be both an exciting moment and one of uncertainty. That's why the Waterloo Career Center is here to help your student graduate with both a diploma and a plan. Our hands-on environment provides Eastern Iowa students with education and purpose. We'll help your student discover their passion and help them succeed through the Waterloo Community School District's widely recognized award-winning Career Center. Your student can experience an internship, apprenticeship, free college credits, and more, all in a fun, engaging, state-of-the-art environment. Through the Waterloo Career Center, students from Waterloo and surrounding communities have access to work experiences in 18 different fields, including nursing, early childhood education, marketing, culinary, and more. Visit us online at wcc.waterlooschools.org. Waterloo Community Schools, where the future is now.
Save big money at Menards and start your next project today. Countertops are the center of a home, from elegant to everyday options, with easy installation that you can do yourself and durability that will last you from crayons to calculus. Transform everyday spaces into gathering places with custom craft countertops from Menards. Right now, laminate countertop is on sale, starting at $7.49 per square foot. Price is good through January 28th.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 juicy boneless pork chops with your order. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN.
The defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs looking for another trip to the Super Bowl when they visit Baltimore in the AFC Championship game. Ravens are the 3-point favorite, 44.5 the total. Patrick Mahomes passing prop bet on the board, over under 244.5 yards, 1.5 touchdown passes, shaded to the over, -120. Travis Kelce receiving yard prop bet, over under 62.5 yards. Rashee Rice over under 61.5 yards. College basketball coming up today. Northern Iowa, 13.5 point home favorite against Evansville. The total, 142. For the latest sports betting news and information, go to VSIN.com. Mike Sennett, 1650, The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Cloudy with fog tonight, with freezing rain likely. Lows level off around 31. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Chance for mixed precipitation becoming all rain. Daytime highs approaching 35. Chance for mixed precipitation with fog early tomorrow night. Lows around 32. Overcast skies. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Currently 33.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650. The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. Big day down in Iowa City as previously interim athletic director Beth Getz formally introduced today at a press conference as Iowa's new full-time athletic director. No more interim tag for Beth Getz. So that's the place to start, as there's a lot to get to like usual, as David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com and the 24/7 Sports Network joins the show. Follow David on X at David Eicholt. David, thanks so much for being here. I know it's probably been a busy day. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man, always good to join you. Definitely a busy day, a lot busier than even I anticipated, but that means things are moving in motion, so I'm very, very happy to hear that. My beach vacation might be closer than I originally anticipated, so that's always good.
Glad to hear it. We all would love, who wouldn't love that right now if you're an Iowan, but when it comes to Beth Getz, typically, David, when it gets to this point, like, the hay's in the barn, right? We know about Beth Getz, particularly when it's an interim that becomes a full-time. You've maybe even seen some things demonstrated. So what, with any sort of substance did we get from today's presser?
Yeah, I thought there were a couple notable things. Number one, I mean, there was over, it looked like at least over 150 female student-athletes that were in there. When Beth was giving her opening press conference, and she was asked about being the first Big Ten female athletic director, and it was a really powerful moment. She looked around the room at all the young women in there and just said, "I was you." And it was kind of one of those really kind of compelling moments, at least I thought, when that was going down. And then obviously Beth was asked about the offensive coordinator position, and she said it seems like all the pieces are starting to come together, and she basically alluded that there could be some news at least soon, so hopefully within the next week or so, which would be outstanding. We might not reach day 100 during the search process, which would be, you know, outstanding, obviously. But the other thing was, too, that Beth seemed to, you know, really lament the fact that she wants the University of Iowa to be at the forefront of NIL and, you know, empowering the players while still having the athletic department's best interest at heart. She said, "We need to get creative with it, while still following federal law and all the guidelines that are set in place." But she seemed very open to the idea. And remember, Cole, she's been a student athlete. She's coached at the college level, and now obviously she's an athletic director. She kind of understands the balance and levels to everything. So I thought that was interesting. And then near the end of the press conference, she was asked if this is a destination job. And she said, "Absolutely. I'm a Midwest girl. I grew up here. Obviously I played somewhere on the coast, but my family loves it here. Iowans have really embraced me." Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like that she's really in it for the long haul. And, of course, when Iowa sent out that search committee, they were looking for a long-term fit. And Beth just seems to kind of fit the profile for everything. So I think Iowa knocked it out of the park, despite it being kind of an open-shut case for her being the athletic director. But yeah, I thought she made some really strong points today. Not a lot of filibustering, a lot of direct answers, which was very refreshing, to say the least.
Yeah, what little I heard, it seemed like she did really well today. And, I mean, I don't know how anybody couldn't agree at this point that this looks like a really good hire. Time will tell, but I would agree. I think Iowa's made a really great decision here. And since you brought up Kirk Ferentz's almost never-ending search for an offensive coordinator, I did the whole radio guy thing at the top of the show, David, where I teased that, hey, I got this figured out for Kirk Ferentz. I know who the guy should be, because, you know, who really wants this job at this point? We've talked plenty about why young, exciting offensive coordinators wouldn't want this job. Paul Christ doesn't want this job. So who the hell might actually take this job if they were offered? And I said Chuck Long. I mean, besides Niall Kinnick, I mean, we're talking about maybe 1B or 1C here in the pantheon of Iowa football legends. And you go look at Chuck's resume, albeit there's a big gap in there. He basically got out after 2011, just got back in when the spring, you know, professional football leagues got going, and currently is the offensive coordinator for the Arlington Renegades. I'm sure you already knew that, David. But the resume speaks for itself. I mean, this is a guy more than capable of guiding an offense and being a play caller. Why not Chuck Long?
Well, so here's what I can tell you. I don't want to give too much away, but over the last 3 hours, I've actually received some sort of solidified info about the Iowa offensive coordinator search, and it's not going to surprise me if there's a new OC named this weekend or early part of next week. I think Kirk has limited it down to three options, and I'm going to be having, right after we got this interview, Cole, I'm actually going to be having a VIP update for my subscribers at HawkeyeInsider.com and 24/7. And I won't say too much, but I'll give you this. There's going to be two names that a lot of people would be ecstatic about once they do their background, and then one name that, in my opinion, would really disappoint the fan base, to say the least. But I have been told that they will be in Iowa City this weekend, later this week and this weekend, and that's when Kirk might have at least an offer on the table for one of those three candidates. And I can tell you Chuck Long is not part of that as far as I'm aware of right now. But I understand it, though, too. I mean, a lot of people are talking about, you know, getting Drew Tate back in as quarterback coach.
Yeah.
Which I thought could have been very interesting as well.
Yeah, I don't think either of those names are hot takes. I mean, am I being, slightly tongue-in-cheek? Just a little bit. Yeah, it's radio. I'm trying to have some fun here. But I don't think either of those names are a hot take. They're capable guys.
100%. I mean, I threw out the fact that I thought Marvin McNutt should be involved at the University of Iowa to some degree because he's the last Iowa wide receiver under Kirk Ferentz to be an all-Big Ten caliber guy.
Yeah.
All-Lone Big Ten receiver of the year. And let's just put it this way, to put it nicely, Cole, I got killed for it on my message board. So I just took a step back after that and said, okay, maybe I won't have fun with you guys. Maybe I'll just kind of wait to see how everything unfolds.
Well, just tell them that I said Chuck Long. That'll probably take all the ire away from you, and they'll be like, who's this idiot that does radio in Cedar Falls? This guy doesn't know anything. So, all right, we better step away from football and go to basketball. Fran McCaffrey's team coming off a loss at home to a good Purdue team on Saturday. But this Hawkeye team's been playing better lately, David. What might be the two biggest reasons you'd point to?
Yeah, number one, Owen Freeman being in the starting lineup. I mean, I think Owen's been tremendous. I think he's an all-Big Ten caliber post. And I'll have a story tomorrow morning. I actually got the chance to catch up with Matt Painter after the game. And he was very, very complimentary of Fran McCaffrey and Owen Freeman. He just said Owen picked a place where he's going to get the most out of his potential because Fran McCaffrey knows how to develop elite post players. So I thought that was very kind of him as well. And obviously, Fran was frustrated after the game because, in my opinion, too, I share Fran's frustration. I think the six-time freshman of the week should have gotten a better whistle in that circumstance. I mean, Zach Edey got sort of every single call under the sun. But Owen Freeman's going to be a tremendous player for Iowa. And, I think Iowa has tangibly improved. I think the emergence of, Josh Dix, I think he's been really, really good. I think he's sort of developed his role. I think he's continuing to evolve as a passer. And I'm going to go off the grid a little bit, too, Cole. I think Tony Perkins being the main facilitator has been awesome for this Iowa team. I mean, we know he can score when he's locked in, he's locked in. But his willingness and his newfound excitement to pass the basketball, to create for other opportunities for teammates, I think that's been a big reason why Iowa sort of pieced it together. So I don't think Iowa's an NCAA tournament team right now, but yeah. I also think they're playing better team basketball, and I think there's tangible improvement that you can point to over the past month or so.
Just a little bit of time left here with David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports. As David did the radio guy thing earlier, his tease was frankly better than mine, talking about these OC candidates that he's got the inside track on. So go subscribe at HawkeyeInsider.com. David, before I got to let you go quick, Iowa women's basketball coming off that overtime loss at then number 18 Ohio State. Plenty of drama and controversy surrounding that game and after the game. I'm not sure where to begin. So, I mean, just in summary, where are you at right now? Thinking back on what became quite the clash between the Hawks and the Buckeyes.
Yeah, anybody who thinks Caitlin Clark flopped when she got hit by a credential media person or a fan, they need to stop eating lead paint chips. Like, there's nothing for her to gain out of this. I mean, she's the most popular player in America. She's the best player in America. For her to take a flop, quote-unquote, after the game, it's quite frankly ridiculous. So I think that notion needs to die, and I've been pretty astounded and disappointed that the national media has kind of run with the fact that it's Caitlin's fault. She's a player on the court. You know, I get court storming. I'm for court storming, Cole, but as somebody who's been on the court and on the field during court stormings and field stormings, it's a completely different experience with all these people coming at you than you being a part of the court storming and field storming. So, you know, it's disappointing that that happened. And, you know, to Caitlin's credit, she gave credit to Ohio State, and she was even for court storming. She really didn't have any bitter feelings about it after the game. But the fact that this is a story is, you know, quite frankly, ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Iowa women's going to be fine. I think they need to learn how to defend the post better. We need to see Sharon Goodman or Addie O'Grady help Hannah Stolke out. I think that's my big kind of red flag for this team heading into March when it really, really matters most. Mm-hmm. But Iowa's still a top five team in the country. I have all the faith in the world. They're still a Final Four contender. But obviously a disappointing loss. I think they had a huge chance to kind of emerge as the clear and cut favorite of the Big Ten Conference if they escaped with a win.
I think it came at just the right time. You got just enough time left in the conference season to put some real work in on what the Buckeyes exposed, David. So I expect that they're going to be better for it. Thanks as always for your time, man. Great stuff as always. Really appreciate you, and we'll catch up again soon.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you. Take care.
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports. Follow him on Twitter, X, at David Eicholt. And go subscribe, HawkeyeInsider.com. David told you right after he gets done here, he's getting on a call, and he's got a list of names on these offensive coordinator candidates. Two that he says fans would love to have, and one that he says fans not so much would like to have in Iowa City call and plays. So no better tease than that to go subscribe to HawkeyeInsider.com. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during the break. Come back on the other side, and the UNI men's basketball play-by-play voice, J.W. Cox, will join us next. The Panthers are red hot. He'll talk about it right after this on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Beth Goetz was formally introduced as the new director of athletics at Iowa. Goetz had been interim AD since the retirement of Gary Barta last August.
Well, I've been on campus for about 16 months and recognize there is still much to learn. It took me about 10 minutes to figure out how truly special being a Hawkeye really is. To our student athletes, our alums, coaches, staff, campus partners, and passionate fan base, thank you for opening your arms to me.
She's the first woman to lead the entire athletic department and is the only female AD in the current makeup of the Big Ten Conference. Basketball tonight, the UNI men take a four-game winning streak into a game at home against Evansville. The Panthers are 5-3 in the Missouri Valley Conference, while Drake senior forward Grace Berg is the Missouri Valley Conference Women's Player of the Week. She averaged 23 points in wins over Belmont and Murray State. This is Radio Iowa.
Haul away big deals this Thursday through Sunday at Fleet Farm's Truckload Savings Event. Like 40-pound bags of Diamond Crystal Solar Salt, just $4.99. 20-pound bags of KT Woodlands Wild Bird Food are only $5.99. Plus, save on 50 pounds of Sprout Crumble or Pellet Poultry Layer Feed, just $13.99. And set your sights on 35% off Ammo Inc. Defensive Handgun Ammo. Stock up on everything you need for everyday life at Fleet Farm.
Don't miss the most innovative ag technology that exists today on display in Des Moines at the Iowa Ag Expo, the third largest indoor ag show in the U.S., January 30th through February 1st. Check out all the latest technology in row crop and livestock production, robotics, and more at the brand new Innovation Hubs. Mark your calendar. That's January 30th through February 1st. Register online at iowaagexpo.com to get your tickets in advance and save $5. See you in Des Moines. The Iowa Ag Expo is sponsored in part by Farm Credit Services of America and Ag Direct.
You're listening to Cole & Company on The Fan, broadcasting from the Circa Sports Studio.
The world's largest sports book is now available right at your fingertips in Iowa. Download your new bookie today with high betting limits, tight money splits, and exceptional customer service. The Circa Sports Iowa app. Visit CircaSports.com and get in on the action. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-238-7633.
In the heart of Cedar Falls, something extraordinary is happening. It's Cedar Falls Community Schools, where every student is celebrated every day. Imagine a place where curiosity is sparked, dreams take flight, and every challenge is an opportunity waiting to be seized. That's the spirit of Cedar Falls Community Schools, a vibrant community of learners, thinkers, and doers. The dedicated teachers at Cedar Falls Schools inspire guiding students on a journey of discovery. From classrooms buzzing with creativity to sports fields echoing with cheers, every corner of the Cedar Falls School District is alive with the energy of possibility. Cedar Falls Community Schools isn't just an institution, it's a family. Together, they create a foundation for success, preparing their students not just for tests, but for life beyond the classroom.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Turabi Hardware, solar done right means experience, reliability, and long-term energy production. That's why every Turabi solar system is designed and installed by licensed and skilled electricians. Plus, our solar professionals explore all tax credits, grants, and local incentives available to you so you can get the greatest possible savings and return on investment. When you want solar done and done right, visit RabeSolar.com, RabeSolar.com.
This is the home of Cole & Company. For the ride home, weekdays 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan, the Cedar Valley sports leader.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. Over on 93.5 The Mix tonight, you'll hear UNI men's basketball, the Panthers playing host to the Evansville Purple Aces, looking to even the season series against the Purple Aces as they fell in overtime back in early December, 91-89, on the road at Evansville. So a little revenge, perhaps, on the Panthers' mind tonight. And 6:30 pregame, a 7 o'clock tip. The play-by-play voice, J.W. Cox from the Panthers Sports Network, joins us now on this Tuesday edition of the show. J.W., thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Cole. Appreciate you having me on. And always fun to talk a little ball, especially at this point in the year, as opposed to when the Panthers did play Evansville the first time, playing a lot better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They are playing better. We'll talk about the streak that they're on in just a little bit, but how about we back up to Saturday night, both of us in the building at McLeod Center to witness history with Coach Jacobson passing Henry Iba, a 68-year-old record. 188 Missouri Valley Conference wins for Coach Jacobson now. On top of that, just a really good classic Missouri Valley Conference game that took place, too, that you and I got the best of Southern Illinois, 61-57. What was that like for you, JW, calling a great game and then doing a post-game show that had so much history within it?
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, the game itself, starting there, you could tell from the very start that the coaches were aware, they were making the officials aware, folks that have seen this game. I'm sitting next to Kevin Boyle. He's seen a lot of those old-school games. It looked like a game of the Valley days of old. And you know Southern Illinois is going to do that. They've always been a team that's going to be tough and in your face and make you grind out a game. And the Panthers, toughness has been the watchword of late on this stretch that they've been, getting tougher, showing the toughness that they have, turning up the intensity, things that have all been written and talked about over the last 2 weeks. And you clash all that together, and it became an ultimate Valley game. And then what an appropriate setting for Coach Jake to break that record. And to your point, that was great. That was one of my favorite post-game interviews so far with Coach Jake, and he's very good at that. And he always has great insight, no matter what's happening, win, lose, draw, history, or otherwise. But at the end, when I asked him about it, we had talked about it at Belmont when he tied the record, and so we had done some of the preliminaries. But then when I asked him about it again in a different way, talking about the video and the people that he had seen there in venue when they presented that to him, he just runs off the litany of guys that have been his assistants in this program all the way through the years. And I think him being able to do that and having those guys at the tip of his mind when he reaches this pinnacle tells you everything you need to know about the guy and what it means to him and how he appreciates what it has taken to get there, because it's not just Coach Jake. It's all of those assistants from P.J. Hogan, who's been there the whole time, on down to the guys that have come and gone. All of whom had long tenures, right? Even the guys that have since moved on, they all stuck with him for a long time for the most part. So For him to recognize those guys front of mind, that tells you a lot about Coach Jake, and it's not a surprising thing about the man that now has that record.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, you spoke to the longevity of so many, whether it's coaches or people around the program. That's really a word that's adjacent to what Coach Jake has built in terms of a UNI men's basketball program. Like, very rarely is someone in and then back out the door. And, you know, I think when Coach Jake says, you know, I wish that it wasn't just my name that was next to this record. I wish it said staff, or I wish it just said UNI Panthers. I think it carries extra weight. You know, it's not just paying lip service because of how much time and investment so many people had put into this program, whether it was Greg McDermott or Kyle Green or P.J. Hogan, like you point out. And I have to imagine for you, J.W., being around this team as much as you are, as closely as you are, that perhaps you can see these sort of things within, you know, what's built there in that culture that speaks to all that longevity, you know, the continuity that's existed in the program.
Well, I think that's an excellent way to put it, and I think that's the biggest thing to put at Coach Jake's feet when it comes to creating this legacy and this record is that's the kind of culture he creates. It's a culture that people want to be around. It's a culture that people want to stick in and buy in, whether that's players that come back after their playing days, whether that's somebody like Gamaliel Helibo, who saw his brother go through the program and was a friend of the program from that standpoint, and he wants to come here and be a part of it as well as a coach now the last couple of years. And that starts with the man at the top, and that's Coach Jake. And obviously, he's had all sorts of other impact, X's and O's, recruiting, all that kind of stuff that builds 188 Valley wins. But to me, if you need help to do it and you can't do it on your own, which I'm sure he would say, you have to build a culture where people want to be around and want to help, and that's exactly what he has. And to your point, that's what I see whenever I'm around this team, and it's a relatively short time, certainly, that I've been around him in the scheme of things, but it's very easy to see from the jump that is what this program is about, and that starts with the guy up top, and that's what he's built, to have people want to be here, want to contribute, and the success has followed.
UNI men's basketball play-by-play voice, J.W. Cox, our guest right now on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Let's talk about this streak that the Panthers find themselves on. You mentioned toughness has been a big part of it. What else would you point to, JW? You get to see a lot of practices, walkthroughs. You get to hear, I'm sure, conversations that are happening that other people aren't privy to. So beyond toughness, which I'm not trying to make light of that, that's been a big part of it. That's a massive requirement in the Missouri Valley Conference when it comes to challenging for a conference championship, but in winning 8 of their last 9, what else would you point to that you think has been key in this stretch?
Well, I think I go back to the shoot-around before Missouri State and to take folks into that. And, you know, the Panthers generally shoot around and you go through, you walk through a couple out-of-bounds plays maybe, you walk through a little bit about what the other team is going to do, and so you've got your defensive keys down, and then you literally shoot around. You do some free throws. They might do some shooting drills for three-pointers, big men around the bucket, and things like that. And it's, you know, pretty low-key. You're just moving around. They came out at shoot-around against Missouri State, and that's kind of, you know, they had started this run right with the last few non-conference, but they needed to get that Missouri State win to get back on track in the Valley after losing those first two. They came out with the most intense shoot-around that I have seen in my time here over these 2 years, running up and down the floor from the start. Fast breaks, weaves, working on that type of thing. It looked like a practice. It didn't look like a shoot-around. It looked like a practice. Then they got to the shoot-around stuff with the walkthroughs and making sure you're in on your keys for the game plan and things like that. But I think that, and then talking to Coach Jake after that, the stories have come out about the 7 to 10 days of practice or whatever they had after the holiday break before that game, and that's the type of intensity that they have brought. So I guess that's the other word. Whether it's practice, shoot-around, their own individual work, the intensity has certainly ramped up. And I think you mix the intensity with that toughness that we talked about, and then you start to see the good things on defense, where they're better defending the ball handler, they're better getting out and defending at the three-point line, which they've done a tremendous job. 7 times in the last 11 games, they've held their opponents under 35% from beyond the arc, and in the first 8 games of the season, that was not happening with regularity. So that has led to the success there on the defensive side. And then their offense, it's not going at a huge clip over these last 9. They're averaging 73 points a game, which is good, but they've had some games in the 60s that they're winning with defense, notably on Saturday against Southern Illinois. But the efficiency with which they're doing things is at a higher level. And I think you can put that at the doorstep of that overall team intensity. And so team-wise, I would say that. And then I think certainly over the last, over this year, we're seeing grade A number one Nate Heisey, and he is a difference maker on a given night, both ends of the floor, but on that road trip to Murray and to Belmont, it was on the offensive side of the floor where they said, Nate, it's going to run through you. Yeah, you're going to get big shots from Bowen Bourne. You're going to get big shots and big minutes from other guys, but you are going to be what makes this offense go, and he has stepped up to that challenge, and he has made this offense go.
Yeah, he really has, and I asked Coach Jacobson about him at his press conference yesterday, in particular, J.W., about Nate being the primary ball handler on so many set plays that have been called over the last handful of games. And he pointed out how, you know, they like to call those plays with Bowen and Nate, but given Nate's height and his willingness as a passer, not that he made sure to mention Bowen's a good passer, but just given his height, Nate Heisey, he can see over the double team better than Bowen can. And, man, like you point out, it's proven to be so productive. And I wonder if maybe your broadcast partner, Kevin Boyle, might have a similar, story to share, where maybe he played with somebody who wasn't necessarily the point guard, but when you called a play for him and they were the one handling the ball, everybody just kind of knew good things were going to happen. And I think so many people that have played basketball realize that, like, that this guy might not be our point guard, but when he's got the ball in his hands in the half court, good things are going on.
Yeah, and I think that creates a bigger picture, too, Cole, that makes this offense better. So you have Nate that can do that in a slightly different way than what Bowen can do. Last year, it was Bowen, right? We all saw it. It was not only Bowen to score, but it was Bowen with a little bit of help from time to time from Trey Campbell. But it was Bowen to initiate the offense. And even in stretches where, matchup-wise, Cole Henry was the guy that brought the ball down the floor last year, you found more offensive success. So what that tells me, the more the merrier, right? Guys that can have the ball in their hands with consistency and initiate that offense. And now if you look at it, it's Trey Campbell, it's Bowen Bourne. Obviously, A number one is Nate Heisey with what they're drawing up, but Bo can do it. You still have Cole Henry when he's on the floor. Even R.J. Taylor, whose playing time has come down a little bit, R.J. Taylor's assist-to-turnover numbers for a true freshman in this league are astounding. He's only turned it over four times this season. And yeah, he's not playing a lot, but when he is playing, he's got the ball in his hands. So the number of different ball handlers you can have is going to make this offense, A, more efficient, and B, harder to scheme for on a given night because you can't just lock in. And so that has helped Nate be able to flourish because he's seen ways teams have tried to defend him and been able to adjust. And it has helped other guys flourish because they've had more open opportunities when the focus has gone on Nate and when the focus has gone on Bowen.
UNI men's basketball play-by-play voice J.W. Cox with us for a couple more minutes on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. J.W., you get around and talk to so many people, see so many teams in their home environments in the Missouri Valley Conference. Just your impression of the Missouri Valley this season, which teams and or players have impressed you most?
Well, what's impressive is, you don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but really, it's certainly in the top 10, and with the way Evansville played us earlier, you can go, UIC and them down there at number 11. Nothing is a given on an individual night. You're not going to go into a building, certainly not on the road, and not into your own building and just expect, okay, we can roll tonight. Because the quality of players that are out there, whether it's some transfers or some guys that have some talent, they're going to keep teams in games and give teams abilities to win. And you look at tonight's opponent in Evansville, and you mentioned going places and seeing environments. That place was hopping after their non-conference when we played them in early December.
Yeah.
That place, they're always in the top four or five in attendance in the Valley, even when they have had down years, because it's a nice building to go to. The folks in Evansville are strong supporters, and they get out and support their team. And then all of a sudden they were winning. And so that was an environment that was unmatched, and that certainly helped them win an overtime game against the Panthers. When the Panthers did a lot of good things, yeah, they made some mistakes, but it was an environment where it was going to be a tough place to win, and you know you're going to get that. Look at the Pantera Center and the way Southern Illinois has used that to their advantage despite their recent struggles. They had a tremendous run, and they're going unbeaten. People in Terre Haute, man alive, is this the best year to not have to go to Terre Haute, right? Like,
yeah.
You only play Indiana State once. You'd love to try and get them again so you can impact the standings, but, yeah, then again, maybe you don't because that's a tough place to play. And so, to me, that's what is striking is all of these teams across the Valley have things that their fans can attach themselves to and give and have hope about on a given night. And yeah, Are things going to break down where we're talking about multi-bids in this league by the time the season is said and done? Probably not at this point, the way things have gone, Drake and Indiana State notwithstanding, with some solid numbers. But again, night in, night out in the Valley, and when we all get to St. Louis, it's going to be some exciting stuff, and there's a lot of fan bases that can have a lot of fun over this next month and a half.
Yeah, St. Louis looks like it's going to be an outstanding conference tournament. As far as tonight is concerned, pregame coverage at 6:30 on 93.5 The Mix. What can we expect to hear from you, your aforementioned broadcast partner Kevin Boyle, and maybe even Coach Jake as well when it comes to evening this season series? You spoke about how the Panthers did some good things in that first game, but a lot's changed since then. Also, there's the big guy out there looming, Ben Humrickus, or Humrickhouse, whether or not he's going to play, Evansville's leading scorer. Maybe we don't know that, but take us inside this game, JW.
Yeah, that's going to be a big determining factor, because however good the Panthers have become since then, and are since then, if Ben Humrickhouse plays, they're a completely different team. They are a different team when he's not playing on both ends of the floor. And you talked to Coach Jake, and he was impressed in that game with the way Humrickhouse disrupted the Panthers defensively with his length and the guys that he can cover. And that was certainly a factor. And then he got loose in the second half in that game. So he's 6'9". He can shoot. He missed five games, came back, played about 11 minutes of another game that didn't play at Drake. So anybody's guess at this point, if we see Humrickhouse tonight. But if he is in there, that impacts them on both sides of the floor, and it's going to make it an even tougher game. What's interesting to me, Cole, is as a broadcaster, and you know this, sometimes you can get caught in these narratives of, well, it's going to be a revenge game. And then so over the years, I've thought, well, okay, let's back it off because the team and the coaches, they're probably not focused on that. It's probably not that big of a deal, yada, yada, yada. Well, what struck me after that Belmont game, that was one of the first things the guys I talked about. Yeah, they got us pretty good, and we wanted to get them back. So I think the mentality is going to be there to know that even though it wasn't the big-time loss at home, which was disappointing against Belmont, it was still an early-season loss that was disappointing and gave the Panthers two losses right out of the gates in Valley play. And so I know this team is going to come fired up to keep the revenge tour going. They've actually won their last two games, as I was looking at it, following a loss against opponent. You go back to Missouri State when they beat them late last year on the road. That was a revenge game. And then they got this latest revenge game against Belmont. So they're hoping that tour continues here at this point tonight, but it's not going to be an easy one.
JW, thanks so much for joining the show today. Great stuff. Have a great call tonight.
Appreciate it, Cole. Anytime.
Hi, I'm Mike Hamm with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Tennessee Titans have hired Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan as their head coach. The 39-year-old has been the Cincinnati offensive coordinator since the 2019 season. Meanwhile, the Eagles finished their season losing six in their final seven games, but Nick Sirianni's job appears to be secure. NFL Network insider Mike Garofalo reporting that Sirianni, along with general manager Howie Roseman, will meet with the media on Wednesday. The Eagles, though, they did make one change, firing defensive coordinator Sean Desai after just one season. Elsewhere, the Bears are hiring Shane Waldron as their new offensive coordinator, according to NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And the 49ers, their head coach Kyle Shanahan said on Monday that wide receiver Deebo Samuel's shoulder is not broken, but his status for Sunday's NFC Championship game is still uncertain. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. With the head coaching carousel in full swing, plenty of NFL teams are now weighing their options for the franchise's next head coach. Normally, teams look towards some of the more successful coordinators, but if we've learned anything this season, it's that success as a coordinator doesn't always translate to being a successful head coach. Former Raider and Bronco head coach Josh McDaniels has failed in two different cities. He did that after calling plays for Tom Brady in New England. And when you look at the four remaining playoff teams, two of those coaches never even served as an offensive or defensive coordinator. John Harbaugh was in charge of special teams before he took the head coaching job in Baltimore. And the Lions head coach Dan Campbell, highest full-time position, was an assistant head coach in New Orleans. Both coaches, no football. Can't deny that. But the two teams' success is once again proof in the NFL. There are coordinators, and then there are head coaches. And you never know where they may come from. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that will help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets.
Get started. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code Patrick. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code Patrick. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions. Restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show, with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. Got to thank David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com. Great stuff with David today. If you missed any of it, a podcast will be available shortly at 1650thefan.com. Got to thank J.W. Cox, the voice of UNI Men's Basketball, for joining today's show. That's where I'm headed. Going to go watch the Panthers take on the Purple Aces at McLeod Center. 6:30 pregame on 93.5 The Mix. Cedar Falls girls basketball against Iowa City Liberty over on Cruising KCFI at 7:15. Have a good night, everybody. I'm back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.